Okay, let me begin by welcoming all of you to this first Aid for Trade Global Monitoring and Review session. I wish to begin by recognizing and welcoming in particular the ministers, the heads of multilateral agencies, the heads of regional development banks and representatives of bilateral donor agencies to this session. This morning's session will provide an opportunity for key multilateral agencies and bilateral donors to outline their vision, their priorities, their plans on Aid for Trade. And before I make my introductory remark, let me make two observations. First, Donald Kaberuka, the President of the African Development Bank, will be joining us a little later. Second, we have a lot to achieve this morning and very little time. Therefore, I wish at the outset to appeal to all speakers to keep their interventions as short and precise as possible. I will now make an introductory statement, and then I'll give the floor to the speakers on this podium, starting with Angel Gurria, the Secretary General of the OECD. I'll now join the lectern. Donc, bienvenue à ce premier examen global de l'aide pour le commerce. Nous avons, comme je viens de le dire, beaucoup à faire ce matin, et donc je serai bref dans cette introduction. Comme vous le savez tous, l'OMC a pour mission de favoriser le commerce. Notre activité principale est de réduire les obstacles aux échanges et d'établir des règles multilatérales pour assurer l'égalité des conditions pour tous. Mais nous savons aussi que la suppression des obstacles au commerce ne suffit pas pour que les pays récoltent les avantages attendus de l'ouverture des échanges. Et je pense en particulier à cette nouvelle modification des règles du commerce international que nous sommes en train de négocier dans le cadre du programme de Doha pour le développement, et dont la conclusion est maintenant prévue aux alentours de la fin de l'année prochaine. Pour bénéficier pleinement d'une ouverture accrue des échanges, les pays doivent posséder un cadre de politique nationale, une capacité institutionnelle, des infrastructures économiques adéquates. Et ceci est vrai partout, au nord, au sud, à l'est et à l'ouest. Mais il est vrai que les pays développés ont en général la capacité de mobiliser les ressources nécessaires et que leurs agents économiques ont le plus souvent la possibilité de saisir eux-mêmes et d'exploiter les possibilités créées par l'ouverture des échanges. Ce qui est vrai pour les pays développés ne l'est pas pour beaucoup de pays en développement. Et c'est là que les ressources nécessaires doivent prendre la forme d'aide au développement. Et c'est ici que l'aide pour le commerce entre en jeu. Nous considérons l'aide pour le commerce comme un élément essentiel pour aider les pays en développement à faire du commerce non plus une possibilité, mais bien une réalité. Il y a près de deux ans maintenant, à la conférence ministérielle de Hong Kong en 2005, les ministres ont donné à l'OMC un mandat qui consiste à appuyer les pays en développement, et en particulier les moins avancés, dans leurs efforts pour se doter des capacités commerciales dont ils ont besoin pour tirer parti de l'ouverture des échanges. Ils l'ont fait avec la conviction que cela pourrait contribuer à la réalisation de l'objectif du développement. Afin de mettre en œuvre ce mandat donné par les ministres à Hong Kong, nous avons esquissé l'an dernier un plan pour mobiliser, pour tracer, pour repérer l'aide pour le commerce. Ce plan a été bâti par un groupe de membres de l'OMC et de donneurs multilatéraux. Et ce plan prévoit un suivi au niveau mondial des flux financiers, des auto-évaluations des pays partenaires et des pays donateurs, ce que nous avons commencé à faire au cours de 3 réunions régionales et au cours d'une série d'examens périodiques au comité du commerce et du développement, qui est l'enceinte au sein de l'Organisation mondiale du commerce où ces questions sont discutées. Ces différents éléments devaient être réunis à l'occasion d'un examen global de l'aide pour le commerce et d'un débat au Conseil général, ce que nous faisons aujourd'hui et demain. Et nous assistons donc, en quelque sorte, à l'aboutissement de ces travaux pour 2007. Je donnerai dans un moment la parole à notre ami Gouria, qui présentera un rapport conjoint OMC-OCDE intitulé L'aide pour le commerce, panorama 2007. Ce rapport présente une vue d'ensemble des flux d'aide pour le commerce de 2002 à 2005, 2005 étant la dernière année pour laquelle des données sont disponibles, et le moment auquel les engagements pris au sommet du G8 à Gleneagles et à Hong Kong en matière de croissance de cette partie de l'aide au développement ont commencé à prendre effet. Comme toute chose, cet état des lieux peut être affiné, peut être amélioré, vous en avez d'ailleurs discuté hier lors des ateliers techniques, mais dans l'ensemble, je crois qu'il nous donne une vue assez claire des flux mondiaux d'aide pour le commerce, et c'est un bon point de référence à partir duquel nous pourrons ensemble mesurer les progrès futurs, et je veux saisir cette occasion pour remercier l'OCDE très chaleureusement pour cet excellent travail. Ce rapport analyse aussi les auto-évaluations de l'aide pour le commerce, 30 émanant de pays donateurs, 8 émanant de pays bénéficiaires et 10 émanant d'institutions internationales. Les résultats de ces auto-évaluations sont assez impressionnants et plus encore que les résultats, je crois que c'est le processus qui a permis d'aboutir à ces résultats qui est tout aussi important. Il a en effet permis à des acteurs qui jusque-là n'étaient pas forcément en contact les uns avec les autres, des ministres, des institutions, des agences de développement, à engager un dialogue interne au sujet de l'aide pour le commerce, à réfléchir aux objectifs et à se demander ensemble comment mieux faire. Et je crois que ces auto-évaluations constituent un outil important pour faire progresser l'aide pour le commerce et, je l'espère, nous pourrons les améliorer, les développer, les perfectionner, en particulier pour les pays partenaires, au cours de l'année prochaine. Key multilateral and bilateral agencies will also be given an opportunity to explain what they are doing to advance aid for trade. We want to hear their priorities, their plans, including plans for scaling up financial assistance and improving their own trade capacity, both in country and at headquarters. Then, in the afternoon and tomorrow morning, we'll hold 3 regional roadmap sessions on Latin America and the Caribbean, on Asia and the Pacific, and on Africa, which will be moderated by the President of the IDB, the Vice President of the ADB, and the Executive Secretary of the UN Commission for Africa, including in this dialogue key recipients and donor countries. And the aim there is to focus on specific regional priorities, especially the reports and recommendations stemming from the regional reviews, and to suggest some practical steps for taking this Aid for Trade initiative forward. The global review will end on Wednesday with a debate in the General Council of the WTO, where we will be looking for feedback and input from all members about the next steps for us, including how we can improve monitoring and especially evaluation. Aid for Trade is no doubt a complex subject. Every country has its own needs and priorities. There are a multitude of players covering a multitude of policies, but despite this complexity, some common themes have emerged from this first year of monitoring, which are worth mentioning briefly. Number one, leadership. No grand plan to expand trade capacity will ever work unless developing countries want it, unless they own it, and unless it advances their national interests. The only successfully trade-related development strategy is one which is created and executed by countries themselves, and which is mainstreamed in national development plans. The responsibility ultimately rests with the partner countries. Number two, priority setting. The challenge for countries is to decide on the project that matter most and that will deliver the biggest return on investment. As we all know, having 100 priorities is having no priorities. And to move forward, we need clear objectives and deliverable plans. Number three, thinking regionally. Many capacity and connectivity problems, especially for small and landlocked countries, are regional in scope. We can help Rwanda construct the best transport corridor in Africa, but unless it is connected to an equally effective transport corridor in neighboring Uganda, Kenya, or Tanzania, Rwanda will remain cut off from world markets in goods. Number four, increased and predictable financing. Donors have a responsibility for increasing the overall financing envelope by following through on their Monterrey, Gleneagles, and Hong Kong pledges. It's up to the recipient countries to decide whether this new money is spent on trade or some other priority. Finally, number five, mobilizing the private sector. As we all know, it's business, not governments, that trade. So for this initiative to work, we need to involve the private sector directly in telling us where the problems lie, in helping to devise the solutions, and with a bit of creativity and the right incentives in providing some of the resources through public-private partnerships. Now, there was another theme that ran throughout the year's discussion, and it is that trade, investment, and domestic reform are the main drivers of economic growth and development. Aid for Trade can and must be an important complement to a successful do-around with development as a central pillar. But let me be very clear and frank on this. It can in no way be a substitute to the negotiation of new rules. The challenge now is to take what we've learned about AlphaTrade over the past year and to apply it to concrete solutions. This is why we're all here, to look at the solutions, to outline your plans, and to explain how you intend to implement them. It's never been the goal of the WTO to direct or dictate how AlphaTrade should be delivered. We are not a development agency, except for our involvement in training, which is important. We have little specific expertise and limited resources. We have no intention of becoming another development agency in an already crowded development field. However, we do have a role and a responsibility for ensuring that our members, especially the least developed among them, can benefit from the trade opening and strengthen rules we are working so hard to negotiate. We are undertaking monitoring, but not for monitoring's sake. We want to create a forum, a dialogue, a spotlight, whichever metaphor you can choose, to encourage all of the key actors to honor commitments, to meet needs, to improve effectiveness, and reinforce mutual accountability. Political scientists might describe this as an open method of cooperation, bottom-up incentives to come up with cooperative solutions. That spotlight has started working. In this room, we have ministers, we have senior officials, we have heads of multilateral and regional organizations gathered together to answer one question: how to expand the trade capacity of developing countries. We all can agree that trade can be a powerful engine of development. China, India, Brazil, South Africa, and many others are today a living proof of this reality. We agree that making trade possible is only a part of the challenge. Making trade happen is the other part, and this requires infrastructure, technology, know-how, financing, and competitive exporters. And we agree that the future of an open world economy and the multilateral trade system that underpins it depends on all countries sharing in the benefits more equitably. This year on AlphaTrade has been a long and eventful journey, with one which has literally taken us around the world in our efforts to mobilize more and better AlphaTrade. I believe we must stay focused on this fundamental objective, mobilizing more and better AlphaTrade. That's why we are here, and that's the benchmark against which our success or our failure will be measured. Les animaux à participer en las discusiones y a fijar la hoja de ruta para la continuación de nuestro viaje. Gracias por su atención. And I'll now give the floor to Ángel Guria, who is the Secretary General of the OECD. Thanks.
It's almost like a native in Spanish, huh? Monsieur Lamy, Monsieur Selick, Monsieur Strauss-Kahn, Monsieur Dervis, Monsieur Somavia, Valentin, and the heads of the regional development banks, Mr. Moreno, Caberuca, and Nag, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure to be here at this first Global Aid for Trade Review. I want to thank the WTO Director General for having put so much energy and enthusiasm into this highly relevant initiative. I feel we're establishing the foundations of a new dimension of development cooperation. one that can make a huge difference in empowering the poor and in helping them to exploit the opportunities which globalization provides. Trade liberalization can be a powerful engine for economic development. It has helped lift millions out of poverty, especially in Asia and Latin America. Since its accession to the WTO, China's global trade has been growing faster than in any other developing country, reaching 60% of its GDP in 2005. India has set off on a similar route, and Latin America is going through one of its strongest economic expansions ever, based on a central turbine, $1.2 trillion of annual trade flows both ways, the equivalent to 45% of the regional GDP in a region that had traditionally been very closed to foreign trade. However, many developing countries and regions are still facing difficulties in capturing the benefits of more open markets. And in these countries and regions, governments, institutions, and enterprises often lack capacities such as information, skills, policies, procedures, infrastructure to compete effectively in international markets. This uneven capacity to profit from globalization is producing an unbalanced world where nearly 3 billion people live on less than $2 a day and 1% of adults own 40% of global assets. We all know these disparities are unsustainable. At the OECD, we remain committed to transform globalization into a more inclusive process, into a more level playing field. That is why we have joined efforts with the WTO on the Aid for Trade initiative. This is why we are using all our experience and capacity to establish a joint OECD-WTO monitoring system. The report, Aid for Trade at a Glance, this is the general report, and these are the country-by-country chapters. I think you've all got one. It, of course, follows the last year's work on Aid for Trade, making it effective. This is the first culmination of these efforts. We hope very much that it will become a regular spotlight, as the Director General has said, on Aid for Trade. But let me start with a few words about the international aid effort more broadly and the commitments made at places like Gleneagles, the UN, or Hong Kong. The target set in 2005 to raise ODA from $80 billion in 2004 to $130 billion in 2010 and to double aid to Africa in the same period are the most specific, the most ambitious we have ever seen. Additional Aid for Trade and the Hong Kong pledges will come as part of this overall expansion of ODA. Some donors have announced very impressive budgetary expansions to meet these targets. Others have yet to do so. But the underlying progress in moving from pledges to disbursements is so far relatively small. The headline numbers for ODA in 2006 show a dramatic increase to some $105 billion. But that includes $20 billion of debt relief, notably to Iraq and Nigeria, very concentrated too. So not very impressive, you might think. In the final analysis, the numbers dwindle down to a not very impressive figure. What we all need to recognize, is the scaling up aid is remarkably hard work. Scaling up aid is remarkably hard work, both in donors as well as in developing countries. There's a very high degree of forward planning, discussion, program, and project preparation involved. Take the case of infrastructure, especially regional infrastructure. With all the political agreements and legal implications, as well as the planning and contracting arrangements that have to be put in place, this does not happen in one go. We need to push forward on the aid effectiveness agenda to streamline the aid process and thus reduce the time gap between aid pledges and aid disbursements. Our OECD Development Assistance Committee, the DAC, has been carrying out a survey on programmable aid to help track what is in the pipeline and where it is going. The OECD is also working with the World Bank, the IMF, the UN, and various partner countries on how to make scaling up happen on the ground in developing countries in a predictable and sustainable way. Now, as I mentioned before, monitoring aid for trade is at the center of our joint initiative with the WTO. An effective and systematic monitoring of these flows will strengthen mutual accountability and will provide incentives to improve the impact of our assistance. The creation of this joint OECD-WTO aid for trade monitoring framework is a major achievement. The report we are presenting here today takes stock of trends and developments in aid flows. It also provides an overview of donor and partner country responses to the survey about their aid for trade strategies, pledges, and delivery, which was sent to all WTO members during the summer. Monitoring aid for trade is work in progress, but it is already yielding significant insights. Let me share with you some of the findings. A little bit about the flows. Putting a figure on the volume of aid for trade is not an exact science. Almost every type of economic aid has a potential contribution to trade or trade-related activities. How much of a road or a bridge or a telecommunications network facilitates trade, and how much of it contributes to general economic development? And what about ODA for education and health, which helps build up the stock of human capital, which is an essential factor in making it possible for poor countries to move up the value chain and thus benefit from globalization? Or investment in things like governance, commercial justice systems, for example, they underpin the efficient services and complex contracting that trade development involves. Are they development? Are they aid for trade? Of course, we're not trying to include all this information. We are, however, trying to be comprehensive. And in this light, the OECD and DAC have databases on ODA flows that give us detailed data on individual aid activities and trade policies and negotiations, and give us proxies for others such as productive capacity building or economic infrastructure. So these help us measure the aid for trade indirectly. Not everyone agrees with this approach, but it is a start, and it follows the recommendations of the WTO Task Force on Aid for Trade. And this is what the data tell us. Between the start of the Doha Round in 2002 and the Hong Kong Ministerial Conference in 2005, donors provided an average annual support of $21 billion on eight categories most closely associated with aid for trade. This represents about a third of total sector official development assistance. Of these $21 billion, 11.5 were for economic infrastructure, physical. $9 billion to promote productive capacities, and about $500 million to trade policies. According to these proxies, aid for trade commitments are increasing, but not as fast as, for example, ODA for health and education. Unfortunately, we only have global data until 2005, and consequently we're not yet able to track the impact of the Hong Kong Ministerial and the WTO Aid for Trade Initiative. However, donors have reconfirmed their Hong Kong pledges on aid for trade. Now, if we can take the monitoring exercise even further to develop indicators, we could track progress better and compare performance and results. But I'll get back to that in a minute. Now, on the effectiveness of aid for trade, just like in any successful project, the degree of effectiveness of aid for trade will determine the size of its future funding. People love success, and they're going to support a successful concept. Promoting effective and efficient aid for trade programs that deliver concrete results is crucial to raise the awareness and engagement among all the participants. The basic mechanism to improve aid for trade effectiveness is monitoring itself. The basic mechanism to improve aid for trade effectiveness is monitoring itself. This round of monitoring was very much focused on process and the application of the Paris Declaration principles on aid effectiveness. A landmark agreement you're all familiar with, it builds on an unprecedented level of consensus to make aid more effective. Considering this is the first survey on aid for trade, it is too early to tell how much progress we are making in increasing effectiveness. This first monitoring of the Paris Declaration principles will serve to establish a baseline on agreed indicators, so that next year we can measure progress with these new indicators. Donors are fully aware of the importance of reducing transaction costs, while partners are calling for further efforts, particularly in easy wins such as joint analysis and missions. However, the gap between intentions and implementation is even larger in areas like results management and mutual accountability. Both donors and partner countries are aware of the concepts, but find it very difficult to set joint objectives and undertake joint evaluations. These are important findings, this lack of capacity to work together on joint findings. Let me tell you what we think we need to do to increase the incentives to step up aid for trade efforts. We need to start tracking progress. And I mean progress in the implementation and impact of aid for trade, not just tracking intentions, which we did this year. In terms of flows, next year we need to include disbursement data in our analysis. This will give us a much more accurate picture of actual amounts of ODA spending. In terms of aid delivery, we need to spur greater mutual accountability on the results that Aid for Trade is producing. We need to be able to track progress on trade performance at a local level. This will help us assess the successes of this initiative at a global level. And it will also enable us to learn from each other's successes and failures. To do so, we need to agree on indicators that would allow us to compare performance across donors and developing countries, track results, and assess effectiveness. We need additional evaluation methods and indicators that tell us how countries and regions are doing in terms of trade capacity building. And we must produce this information in such a format that leaders can understand at a glance, this is why the title, at a glance, and respond accordingly. Mr. Lamy has requested OECD support in producing these indicators. I can assure you we will try to make as solid a contribution as we can, Mr. Lamy. But let's not lose sight of how difficult the task is. Politically, we still face important challenges. We need to strengthen the monitoring process of the Paris Declaration to move from evaluating input into measuring outcomes. This will demand getting policymakers and other stakeholders focused on results. The role of partner countries is central here. We need to get a better reaction, a better contribution from partner countries in the next round. We got most of the donor countries, about 90% of the aid, but we only got about 8 of the partner countries. Technically, the task ahead is also challenging. Impact evaluation is complex. Indicators have to connect to policies. But there is much that we can draw from the monitoring process itself in terms of sharing concrete success stories and learning from them. Specifically, on a south-south basis, we think there's a lot of potential there. The proposal to establish a knowledge network is a practical and promising way forward. The report, Aid for Trade at a Glance, is the fruit of an unprecedented collaboration between the WTO and the OECD and between the trade and the development communities. It is a milestone in making trade work for all. The more we expand this fruitful collaboration to cover a broader range of stakeholders, the more we will achieve in promoting aid for trade as a key globalization improver. We need to strengthen ties with partner countries where implementation challenges need to be resolved. We also must strengthen ties with regional authorities and organizations to ensure that our monitoring efforts reflect the importance of tackling regional constraints to trade. And we need to extend our dialogue to other policy communities that can help us design and implement effective monitoring mechanisms. Ladies and gentlemen, great trading nations were not built overnight. In most OECD countries, shipping services, railway networks, export-import banks, promotional institutions, they have evolved over centuries, literally. Developing countries cannot wait centuries to develop these tools. They need our help now. These infrastructures and know-how are the minimum conditions to capture the virtuous synergies of globalization. Countries that lack these precious assets will pay a high price in terms of lost markets and investment, in rising poverty, emigration, and insecurity. In an interdependent world, these are global problems. We must give a global response. Aid for trade is not a panacea. It will not produce miracles. It is a complement to a quality market-oriented policy mix. Aid for trade flows alone won't be sufficient to address all the socioeconomic challenges of developing countries. And it won't be sufficient to generate the critical increases needed in human capital just by itself. But they will definitely contribute to empower their economic actors to reap the benefits of globalization. But our efforts to monitor and increase aid for trade will not bear their best fruit if we don't unlock the Doha Development Agenda. The $21 billion we channel annually to aid developing countries to become competitive exporters cannot do much against the nearly $270 billion we pour every year just into agricultural subsidies to keep their products out of our markets. The Aid for Trade Initiative and the Doha Development Agenda are mutually reinforcing instruments. We might be going in circles if we don't make progress on both tracks. I look forward to continuing working with the WTO towards advancing in both agendas. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andre. Thanks, Manjul.